Welcome to the W5BSA repeater. DL123.
Good evening, folks.
Hello, audio.
Okay.
Good evening, folks. TST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1652, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, February 24th, 2026, which in UTC time is Wednesday, February 25th, 2026 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. Thanks to Joe, W5BSA. We are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and we're also on the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and they both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's also the 146.7 repeater downtown, and it's networked and linked repeaters, and the AMSAT DMR talk group, 98006. YSF Fusion 11689. The All-Star node is 572580 when those connections are working. And then there's also Echolink, and that's over at Star, AMSAT Star. And I will now take any check-ins.
Well, let's see if I'm getting in tonight. This is WA5 Whiskey Oscar Delta, WA5WD.
It was also good seeing Joe, W5DSA, out there, and Fred, and others. So that was the Greater Houston Ham Fest, of course, this past weekend.
Yeah, it was a little bit of double there in the beginning, so I missed some of that.
I'm sorry, it was Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta doubling.
Okay, we're checking you in there. That's WB5JW, JD, what was the last letter?
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, W5 Jared A. Carl here.
Oh, okay, good evening, Carl. We got you down there, WB5 JRD. Welcome. Do we have anybody else out there? Okay, we're just saying that it was good seeing John there, WA5WOD, and others, Joe, W5BSA, and folks up at the Houston Greater Ham Fest here this past weekend. Okay, speaking of, there was a balloon launch. We're going to get into a little bit of information here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And there was a launch, and that was WF5MF-172. And looks like it got about as far as New Orleans or so and started losing altitude and probably didn't maybe go a whole lot further. It hasn't beaconed in about 3 days. So sometimes they go around the world 7 times, and sometimes they just get across Texas. You never know. Okay, the South Texas Balloon Launch Team does hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. At a local restaurant here in town, and then they have a meeting on the internet on Zoom, and that's at 8 p.m., and that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. And so it was good seeing Walter out there, and of course, all of his setups that he had. He had the HF station going on that Rudy was manning, and others, and then also doing APRS, and or FT8, I guess it was, and FT2, the new mode, doing all kinds of stuff over there. Okay, let's see here. Okay, there's some information here about free DV. It looks like Walter has kind of been pushing the free DV, which is a new mode that's on HF that is extremely quiet and probably also will be making it to satellites at some point. All right, we're switching gears over here to the AMSAT News Service weekly bulletins, and this week's bulletin is from Frank Kanoskis, who's the editor, N1UW. And let's see, this is ANS Bulletin number 53. The AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. And ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. Okay, the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org, and you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins via the ANS list, and that way the bulletins will just show up in your inbox. And you just go over to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. All right, there's the limited time promotion is still underway. It's a reminder that the AMSAT membership or renewal of membership now includes the Getting Started Guide, digital copy. So AMSAT's offering a limited time promotion for new and renewing members that includes a free digital copy of Getting Started with Amateur Satellites. The promotion is being offered as AMSAT begins the 2026 membership year. Anyone who joins or renews their AMSAT membership during the promotional period will receive a download link for the latest edition of Getting Started with Amateur Satellites. in their membership confirmation email. That's where they'll get it. And the guide is designed to help radio amateurs understand the fundamentals of satellite operation and also serves as a practical reference for both newcomers and operators returning to the hobby. Additional information about AMSAT membership is available. It's over at launch.amsat.org.
DL-123.
Of course, that's not all you get when you sign up. In addition to this limited time promotion, AMSAT membership includes a subscription to the AMSAT Journal, access to archived issues, discounts on selected items in the AMSAT online store, like those M-squared antennas, and opportunities to participate in AMSAT elections, committees, awards programs, and other AMSAT activities and programs. And that also gives you a much higher right to just be able to give Bruce a hard time. Members may also access archive proceedings from the past AMSAT Space Symposium, symposiums through the AMSAT member portal. So you can go back and look at all the archived issues. And beyond these tangible benefits, AMSAT membership supports the development, launch, and operation of amateur radio satellites, along with education and outreach efforts. Joining AMSAT is not just about individual benefits. It's about being part of the community that builds and operates amateur satellites for radio amateurs worldwide. As AMSAT looks ahead to 2026, the promotion helps launch another year of growth and opportunity for amateur radio in space. Okay, we want to say thanks to Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, AMSAT President, for that information. The 2026 President's Club coin is here, so you can help support golf and the Fox Plus projects. Annual membership starts at only $120, and of course there's higher levels also. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL for that one, it's www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. All right, and as part of its youth initiative, AMSAT just published its Satellites in Space coloring book, and that's over on www.buzzsat.com. The free coloring book is available at no charge in both English and Spanish language versions. The complete title of the coloring book is Satellites in Space Help Us Live a Better Life on Earth. This theme shows how satellites play an important role in virtually every aspect of modern life. The book includes 12 two-page spreads that illustrate different roles that satellites play and the benefits they provide. Okay, for example, one spread explains helping farmers grow bountiful crops for healthy meals on every table. Another spread features teenagers using amateur radio, sharing messages and pictures with friends around the world. The complete list of topics include agriculture, broadcasting, communications, climate change, pollution control, fighting wildfires, preserving wildlife, space exploration, navigation, meteorology, research on the ISS, and also search and rescue operations. Each topic also includes a one-page discussion guide for adult leaders to use when working with youth and the coloring books. Frank Kanoskis in 1UW AMSAT VP Development explains, "We have produced the coloring book for several reasons. First, it is the right thing to do. We must educate and encourage youth to become active contributors in satellite and communication technology. Second, it helps us satisfy part of our responsibilities spelled out in AMSAT's Articles of Incorporation to encouragement of skills even at the earliest stages of our youth development. Third, it begins to develop in young people of amateur satellites and amateur radio. We, of course, won't convert every young person into an amateur radio operator and an AMSAT member, but we will get our fair share. The earlier we start, the better our chances. There are two very unique aspects of AMSAT's youth initiative. First, it is a community-based program. The materials are designed so that any parent, scouting leader, amateur radio club, or teacher can use the materials as they stand. It does not require buy-in by a school system for getting started. The second unique feature is that, although its ultimate goal is to interest kids in amateur satellites, ANS amateur radio, the materials appeal to a broader spectrum of youth interests. If they have an interest in current events affecting our planet or in their future careers, we have at least begun a dialogue with which we can nurture their possible interest in satellites and communication technologies. And if we haven't won them over along the way, at least we have educated them in some aspects of STEM and perhaps even inspired them. The Spanish language version of the coloring book is our first step in attempting to publish the coloring book in as many languages as there are AMSAT sister organizations. I am interested in exchanging ideas with representatives of AMSAT organizations around the world to help make this happen. AMSAT thanks Amateur Radio Digital Corporation for a generous grant to make this project possible. Persons interested in viewing the coloring book and perhaps downloading copies for the kids can learn more over at www.buzzsat.com, and that's buzzsat.com. And we'll thank Frank Kanoskis and 1UW, AMSAT VP of Development, for that information. And also Bruce, KK5DO, for making these links available. If anybody wants to check out and go into a little more detail and look at the links provided, they are posted over at www.amsatnet.com. Thanks to Bruce. All right, the AMSAT Remove Before Flight key tags are available, and yes, they are the real thing. They're lovely white, red with white embroidered lettering and logo, and your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. It also includes first-class postage, but that's only for U.S. addresses only. And to order today, you can go over to www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. All right, we're a couple minutes here past, quarter past the hour here, so, we're going to go ahead and take a standby and take a look around and see who we've had checking into the net here. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Also, you can call and make a quick phone check into the net by calling 713-467-9870. You can also send an APRS message, and that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Or you can also send an email, and that's to WV5Y comcast.net. All right, we did see a lot of folks over there at the Greater Houston Ham Fest. Had a good time. Sold some stuff, probably not nearly enough. So we also, let's see, we're checking in Charlie, K5ENG, and he's over there in West Houston, so we appreciate Charlie checking in.
DL123.
Okay, we got Dale, WD0AKO, he's up there in the cold country in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, so we appreciate him doing that for us. We have had to use it once or twice. And then we got Vern out there, W0RCR. He's in Wentzville, Missouri, and he transmits our net on the top band on the weekends. And that's from Wentzville, Missouri on 1.860 megahertz, as he likes to say, full carrier AM. That's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. All right, we've got N6ZZO. That's Kai. He's out there in McKinleyville, California. And he's one of our podcast listeners who listens to the net and then calls and checks in. So we appreciate hearing from Kai. And then let's see. From the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and probably Rachie's over there, too. Excuse me, good evening to Rachie. We've got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. Okay, from Echolink, as Bruce made the comment, good list of listeners here this evening, and yeah, looks like we got a few folks aboard here. Let's see, we got Mitch, AD0HJ. He's out there in Jackson, Minnesota, and of course, thanks to Mitch, there is also a Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place. And it's a net that's on DMR, on a digital net. So you can check in with the AMSAT ANS Digital Top Group 98006 or YSF Fusion. It's 11689. Okay, once again, that's it. At 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays, so we'll appreciate that. And we want to say good evening to Andrew, KC5LWY. He's down there in Galveston, so hope he's having a good evening this evening, and there's not too much fog down there. We have NDOP, N6UTC, out there in Long Beach, California. Good evening to NDOP. And Bruce, KK5VO, up there in Roman Forest. And, of course, he's made tonight's URLs available. And also, since he is the awards guy for AMSAT, well, he's also put that on our website. So if you want to get a certificate or an award for even just making your first satellite contact, well, there's information on how you can do that. And that's thanks to Bruce on KK5GO at AmSatNet.com. Okay, we've got Damien, AG9P. He's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin, and he has contacted me a couple of times with a really good question, which he's wondering for the Artemis mission if Capcom audio might possibly be available through a repeater from the NASA down, maybe down in Clear Lake, that could be like transcribed on the Echolink or something like that. So I'm trying to give a, well, I'm going to send an email to John. I think he might be one of the people who's probably going to know AB5SS since he lives down there and works down there for NASA. So So we'll have to see, and he might have some information for us. But if anybody knows if there's a possibility that the Capcom audio could be transmitted from Johnson Space Center onto a Clear Lake repeater and then maybe put on Echo Link, well, that would be fantastic. Okay, Damien, we appreciate you putting that, letting us know, and remembering that they did that before, he says, that years ago, that there was access to the audio, folks. So hopefully we can maybe get that up again. So we got Steve, KA5YFC, he's up there in Olathe, Kansas, also in the cold country. Good evening to Steve. And we've got Jay in 0IUV, and we appreciate all you folks checking in. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. AmSatDL's Peter Gulzo, VB2OS, is honored. Peter Gulzo, DB2OS, was recently honored as one of the top 100 of the table 2025/26, the 100 key figures in the space scene, and among the 10 most influential leaders in the association's category. This recognition was bestowed by the editors of Space.Table. The Table.Briefing's editorial team is a diverse group of talented editors who are experts in their field and bring a wide range of experience and knowledge. Peter commented, "The space editors of Table.Media have honored me as one of the 10 formative minds in the association's category. However, I see this recognition not only as a personal award, but above all as a tribute to an extraordinary community, AmSat." For more than 50 years, the global AmSat community has been developing, building, and operating small satellites driven by voluntary commitment, enthusiasm for space travel, passion, technical excellence, and a clear vision. If AmSat were a space nation, we would rank about 10th in the world with over 130 amateur radio satellites launched. This is a remarkable result for a non-governmental organization run by volunteers. AmSat was and is an incubator for technology, training in entrepreneurial thinking in the space sector. Generations of radio amateurs, students, engineers, and founders have been shaped by this platform. However, against the backdrop of growing commercial mega constellations and increasing regulatory consolidation, a central question arises. What role will non-commercial experimental satellite radio play in the orbital system in the future? Amateur radio via satellite is not a nostalgic relic. It is a low threshold access to space travel for the next generation, an experimental testing ground for new technologies, an international cooperation model beyond geopolitical tensions, and a building block of technological sovereignty also in Europe. This requires reliable frequency protection, regulation, regulatory planning, security, and a political framework that does not suppress voluntary innovation structures, but recognizes them as part of the space ecosystem. And we'll thank AmSatDL for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSat Net. Well, we're just about right at the bottom of the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins. So any other check-ins to the Houston AmSat Net, come now.
Kilo Delta 5, Papa, connect Juliet.
Okay, very good, Herbert. KD5PTJ over there in West Houston. Good evening. Glad to have you down. Got you checked in. Anybody else?
DL123.
All right, well, this is Marty, WZ5Y, and the Houston AmSat Net. Satellites and pollution control added to the BuzzSat online courses. Retired school science teacher and AmSat volunteer Eric Sonnenwald into XSE has been hard at work finishing AmSat's third online course, Satellites and Pollution Control. The first two courses published, Introduction to Satellite Meteorology and Satellites and Climate Change, have gone through their initial test reviews and are now fully active. The Pollution Control course is online but not promoted until its review cycle is completed. Two additional courses, Satellites and Conservation and Satellites in Wildfire Fighting, are nearing completion and will be online shortly. These courses are designed for teenage students and are available at no charge to any parent, group leader, or teacher. Future titles planned include Amateur Satellites, Building a Ground Station, Satellite Telemetry, Broadcasting, Navigation, Point-to-Point Communications, Space Exploration, Research in Space, Search and Rescues, and many more. Persons who are subject matter experts in any of the above fields or any other topics that you think are important to STEM education are invited to email volunteer@amsat.org. The AmSat Youth Initiative has a great working team and welcomes more volunteers to help stimulate youth interest in amateur satellites and amateur radio. Try the online courses, and that's over at www.buzzsat.com, and again, that's two Z's. Okay, we want to thank Frank Konoskis, N1UW, the AmSat VP of Development, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, you can, of course, get great information on satellites, the frequencies that they operate on, their uplinks and downlinks, the telemetry frequencies, the status of the satellites, whether they're currently operating or not currently operating. Also, there's information on the symposium, and there's even the store where you can buy those M-squared satellite antennas at a bit of a discount. All that is right over at www.amsat.org. Hey, if you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition, well, you know, if you want to sit in a parking lot, make satellite contacts or on the side of the road somewhere, and you're worried some little copper guy might pull up behind you and want to know what you're doing, well, you can pull out your AmSat car flag and show them and say you're making satellite contacts. And it's just another great thing to have, so you can get your AmSat car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. All right. When you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And that's right over at www.zazzle.com/AMSAT_here. All right, two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. And weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. So you just download this KEP file into your computer into your satellite tracking program once a week, and it'll keep all those satellites at the right locations and crossing over at the right times. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And this week there are no additions or deletions to the AMSAT TLE distribution, but we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Okay, of course, amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts going on between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen in on all the contacts and the questions from the students and all the action, it's on 145.800 megahertz worldwide.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, we've got, some upcoming contacts. We've got City Kids Pre and Primary School in Johannesburg, South Africa. They've got a telebridge via AB10C. The ISS call sign is presently scheduled to be NA1SS. The crew member will be Chris Williams, KJ5GEW. The ARS mentor is Peter Koffler, IN3GHZ. This contact is a go on Wednesday, February the 25th, 2026, at 1242 UTC. Okay, that I guess already happened. We've got the Center for Creativity, Innovation, and Discovery, CCID, in Providence, Utah, and they had a contact direct via W7IVM. Okay, the ISS call sign was NA1SS. The crew member was Chris Williams, KJ5GEW. The ARS mentor was Charlie Safana, AJ9N. And this contact was Thursday, February the 19th, 2026, at 1713 UTC. Okay, first XRP Governor's Cup in Washington, D.C., they had a telebridge via K6DUE, and they had a contact with ISS call sign NA1SS and crew member Chris Williams again, KJ5GEW. The ARS mentor was also Charlie Safana, AJ9N, and the contact was on Friday, February the 20th, 2026, at 1456 UTC. The crossband repeater on the ISS continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a PL tone of 67, and then you listen on the downlink, and that's on 437.800 megahertz. And remember, if any crew member is so inclined, all we have to do is just pick up the mic, raise the volume up on the radio, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You might end up being able to make a contact with an astronaut and then get a QSL card. Of course, that's using the crossband repeater on 145.990 and 437.800. But also the packet system, it's also been active, and it's over on 145.825 megahertz up and down. But as always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARRIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. So if you listen for a pass and you don't hear anything, then that might be one of those things that's going on. And note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the times we have listed, because we'll know exactly where you are. And the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS, it's over at www.ARRIS.org/current-status-of-ISS-stations.html.
EL-123.
All right, the latest list of frequencies in use over on the ISS, that can be found at www.ARRIS.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Stefano, HA9N, one of the ARRIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, AMSAT ambassadors are very important to AMSAT. They provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AMFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. Upcoming, we've got the Midwinter Madness HamFest 2026. And actually, that's March 21st, 2026. It's at Maple Grove Radio Club in Buffalo Civic Center, 1306 County Road 134 in Buffalo, Minnesota. And that's 55313. Okay, they do have a URL, and it's over at k0ltc.org/midwinter-madness. And you should see Joanne, K0JM, Mitch, AD0HJ, and KE0PBR there, all manning the AMSAT booth. So some good company to be had. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Well, FlatSat 1 is a hardware-based training platform designed to be vulnerable on purpose. It's built for hackers, engineers, and space enthusiasts who want to dive deep into space-grade systems, learn cybersecurity concepts, and prototype their own payloads. The board contains an RP2040 MCU for comms and simulation, two SX1262 LoRa radios for realistic space ground communication scenarios, LIS2DH3 axis accelerometer for sensor data emulation and tampering challenges, and a BME280 environmental sensor for telemetry testing. All firmware and documentation is open source. Boards are scheduled for availability on April the 30th, 2026. The pricing information is not yet announced. And we want to thank Electric Cats for that information. And you can see the full description over at electronickcats.com/flat-sat. Okay, of course, Bruce has those URLs over at amsatnet.com. The Civil Aviation Authority of the Bahamas, CAA-B, has approved the resumption of Falcon 9 first stage touchdowns in the nation's waters. The decision ended a lengthy review spurred by a test flight mishap with SpaceX's Starship mega rocket, which rained debris down on parts of the island nation nearly a year ago. SpaceX can land its rockets in the Bahamas again, and will do so very soon if all goes according to plan. And ANS thanks space.com for that information. And you can see the full article over at www.space.com/space-exploration/launches-spacecraft/SpaceX-resume-rocket-landings-Bahamas-after-starship-mishap-debris. Okay, we have a new SpaceX tool for tracking satellites and other objects in low Earth orbit, LEO, and it could help prevent future satellite collisions, and it's attracting significant industry interest by requiring users to provide data on their own satellites. The system, known as a Stargaze, uses the Star Tracker cameras on SpaceX's near 10,000 Starlink satellites, to image objects in low Earth orbit, creating a detailed map of where everything is at any one time. That information can make a huge difference in avoiding satellite collisions. And ANS thanks Yahoo Tech for that information. And you can see the full article over at tech.yahoo.com/science/articles/spacex-pushes-stargaze-space-management-19141739.html. Or you can find the link over at amsatnet.com. Thanks to Bruce, KK5DO. All right. Well, it looks like Starship could be going up pretty soon. That NASA's Artemis moon mission has been delayed once again. NASA's Artemis moon mission hits another snag, and here's what we know. NASA's historic Artemis II mission has had yet another setback. A successful pre-launch fueling test for the rocket due to propel four astronauts on their way gave the space agency cause to celebrate. But a day after the test ended, those spirits were dampened when ground teams discovered that not all was well with the Towering Space Launch System rocket. This time, it wasn't a leak that ailed the rocket, but not enough flow of helium to the spacecraft's upper stage. The discovery of the issue marks the latest setback for NASA's reinvigorated lunar program, which aims to return Americans to the moon's surface for the first time since the Apollo era. Artemis II, the first human spaceflight under NASA's multi-billion dollar program, appeared on track for a March liftoff after the mission last slipped from February following the first pre-flight fueling test. Under the mission, three Americans and one Canadian are due to fly around the moon ahead of a future moon landing. This will almost assuredly impact the March launch window, NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman said in a February 21st post on social media site X. If it's been difficult to keep track of all the latest updates, delays, and potential launch windows for Artemis II, here's everything to know. When is the Artemis II rocket launch date? Originally slated for liftoff in February, NASA officials initially delayed the Artemis II moon launch from the Kennedy Space Center near Cape Canaveral, Florida, by about a month. The Artemis II mission slipped to no earlier than March 6 after NASA's first elaborate launch day rehearsal ended with the discovery of a hydrogen leak within the 322-foot Space Launch System's rocket core stage.
TL-123.
Now, though, NASA simply hopes to preserve launch opportunities in April, since it's apparent engineers have more work to do on the SLS. I understand people are disappointed by this development, Isaacman said, in a follow-up online post with more information. That disappointment is felt most by the team at NASA, who have been working tirelessly to prepare for this great endeavor. Ground teams at NASA observed interrupted flow of helium February 21st to the rocket's interim cryogenic propulsion stage. Helium flow is required for launch as the upper stage uses it to maintain proper environmental conditions, quote-unquote, for the engine and to pressurize propellant tanks. While the system worked during the most recent refueling test, known as a wet dress rehearsal, teams were not able to properly flow helium during normal operations and reconfigurations, NASA said in a blog post. And their post read, after overnight data showed an interruption in helium flow in the SLS interim cryogenic propulsion stage, teams are troubleshooting and preparing for a likely rollback of Artemis II to the VAB, the vehicle assembly building at NASA Kennedy. This will almost assuredly impact the March launch window. At NASA will continue to provide updates as they become available. NASA conducted a successful second fueling test. The discovery came on the heels of an otherwise successful wet dress rehearsal, in which the SLS was fueled with and later drained of 700,000 gallons of liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen. The test, meant to simulate launch day operations, ended February the 20th on a high note after NASA teams didn't encounter the liquid hydrogen leaks that plagued the first such demonstration earlier in the month. A The Space Launch System will soon be departing the launch pad, where it's been vertical since mid-January, as NASA is planning to roll the giant rocket back to the agency's vehicle assembly building, where spacecraft are prepared for launch. The rollback could happen soon, NASA said. An exact time to conduct the 4-mile day-long trek has not been announced. While a number of factors could be causing the problem with the rocket, accessing and remediating any of these issues can only be performed in the VAB, Isaacman said. NASA officials have indicated plans to host a news conference in the coming days to discuss the status of Artemis II, though the date has not been announced. Please expect a more extensive briefing later this week as we outline the path forward, not just for Artemis II, but for subsequent missions to ensure NASA meets the President's vision to return to the moon and, this time, to stay, Eisenman concluded in his online statement. Okay, the crew of Artemis II includes NASA astronauts Reid Weitzman, Victor Glover, and Christina Koch, as well as the Canadian Space Agency's Jeremy Hansen. Following the successful pre-launch fueling test, the astronauts had re-entered quarantine February 20th at the Johnson Space Center in Houston to avoid exposure to any illnesses, NASA said, but amid the latest setback, the crew members once again exited quarantine and will remain in Houston until a new target launch date is about 2 weeks away. Of course, NASA's Artemis program is the agency's ambitious campaign to return Americans to the surface of the moon for the first time since the Apollo era came to an end in 1972. Ultimately, Artemis reflects NASA's Moon to Mars approach to getting the first humans to the Red Planet. All right, we heard from Vern, W0RCR there on the phone lines. Appreciate them calling and getting him checked in there. Okay, in the years ahead, NASA's Artemis campaign aims to launch a series of crewed missions to establish a continuous human presence on the moon with a lunar settlement on the South Pole. That's where water ice thought to be abundant in the region could be extracted and used for drinking, breathing, and as a source of hydrogen and oxygen for rocket fuel. Now, this time, the Artemis II astronauts won't be landing, but will be instead circle the moon on a 10-day trip to test systems and hardware for future expeditions to the surface. The Orion capsule, the crew will pilot, built by Lockheed Martin, is due to travel about 4,700 miles beyond the far side of the moon, taking its passengers the farthest humans have ever ventured in space before returning to Earth. While NASA tested its spacecraft during the Artemis 1 mission in 2022, Artemis 2 will be the first time that the giant 322-foot-tall SLS rocket and the Orion capsule will fly with humans aboard. All right, if things go as planned, a moon landing would take place during Artemis 3, which President Donald Trump has signaled he wants to see happen before the end of his second term. The astronauts for that mission have not yet been selected. Eric Legata is the Space Connect reporter for USA Today Network, and we appreciate this article here, which originally appeared on USA Today, and it's NASA's Artemis Moon Mission Hits Another Snag. Here's what we know. All right, well, we hope they continue to make progress, and we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AmSatNet. Looks like we're at the end of our time. So everybody stay safe out there, and keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts, and we look forward to catching everybody, let's see, next week. Okay, you can join AmSat today by going to launch.amsat.org. Don't forget. And you can contact info@amsat.org for membership information. And we get a 73 and remember to keep amateur radio in space from this week's ANS editor, Frank Kanoskis in 1UW. And that's at f.kanoskis@amsat.org. All right, so like we were saying, everybody stay safe. Look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5AACM, who's out there somewhere, and Bruce, KK5DO, who's in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.